The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Tuesday, May 12th. What to expect today from top health officials testifying on Capitol Hill, including a possible warning from Dr. Fauci. Also, what the White House unveiled about testing and why some experts are pushing back. Plus, expect a new type of check at the airport. Which emoji has become more popular? And even adopting dogs has gone virtual. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. America's top health officials are set to testify on Capitol Hill today. Expect lawmakers to press for answers on some of the most controversial aspects of this pandemic, from testing to treatments to reopening. The Senate's main health committee will hear from the leaders of the FDA and CDC, as well as America's testing coordinator and the nation's top infectious disease expert, you know him, Dr. Anthony Fauci. They'll all be testifying via video conference today, since three of the four are self-isolating right now. Remember, they came in contact with at least one White House employee who tested positive for COVID-19, so they're each staying home for 2 weeks just in case. Already, Dr. Fauci told the New York Times in an email he plans to issue a warning about the risks of reopening the country too quickly. He wants states to go back to the original reopening guidance from the White House, like ensuring a downward trend of new cases, increasing testing and contact tracing, and making sure hospitals have enough capacity for patients. That said, on Twitter, President Trump has been pushing Democratic governors to lift more restrictions. Expect more details about what each of the health experts have to say today. We'll update you with the highlights tomorrow. It's the biggest step so far to start to reopen the state that's seen the most cases of COVID-19. Three regions of upstate New York got the go-ahead to partially reopen, but with restrictions. To be clear, though, in New York City, things will mostly stay shut down until next month at the earliest. Meanwhile, other parts of the country are moving ahead with reopening plans, but a new report warns about how some new hotspots in the middle of the country are popping up. NBC News got a hold of a new but unreleased report from the White House Coronavirus Task Force dated May 7th. It lists the top 10 areas that have all recorded surges of 72% or greater within just 1 week. The biggest spike was in Central City, Kentucky, which saw a 650% increase in the number of COVID-19 cases in 7 days. Others include Nashville, Tennessee, Des Moines, Iowa, and Amarillo, Texas. It's not clear if President Trump has seen this data yet. President Trump and other federal health officials revealed a new plan to help states test more people. The federal government plans to provide more swabs and other materials and give $11 billion from the CARES Act to support testing plans. President Trump also declared America leads the world on testing. But that last part needs some context. Yes, the U.S. has conducted more tests than any other nation. But when you look at how many tests are done per capita, America does not actually lead the world. President Trump and the White House testing czar also said multiple times some form of everybody who needs a test can get a test. Politico points out that's true only if needs a test means either have symptoms or have had contact with someone who did already test positive for COVID-19. So to be clear, not just anyone who wants a test right now can automatically get one. By the way, there are some new requirements at the White House as of yesterday. ABC News reports a memo told staffers to wear masks at all times while working in the West Wing unless they're sitting at their own desks. The directive does not apply to President Trump and Vice President Pence, though. You might remember it's been more than a month since the CDC started recommending all Americans wear some kind of facial covering in public. But the reason the White House is adding this requirement now is because members of Trump's inner circle have tested positive for COVID-19, including a White House valet and Vice President Pence's press secretary. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court will take on its highest profile cases so far this year. Justices will hear arguments related to President Trump's financial records. Basically, they need to decide if the president's tax returns and business data will ever see the light of day. Trump has been trying to keep them private since before he was elected. We should note, no law actually says a president has to release his tax returns. The issue here is that Trump ignored subpoenas to hand them over. The first subpoenas came from House Democrats. Another came from Manhattan's district attorney. Trump's lawyers argue in both cases, Trump has a right to refuse. The Supreme Court will hear arguments remotely and will eventually make a decision before June. Stay tuned. The Nebraska primary is today, making it the nation's first in-person election in more than a month. Nebraska is taking some precautions, though. Poll workers will be decked out in gloves, N95 face masks, and even face shields. And voting booths will be cleaned in between each use. Mail-in ballots are still an option, and the AP reports 3/4 of voters requested mail-in ballots. So lines at the polls are expected to be a lot shorter than usual. Voters will decide on some local races and, of course, the Democratic presidential primary, even though former Vice President Joe Biden is the last man standing in that race. We have more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Netgear. We've talked about it before here on the show. Some home Wi-Fi can struggle to keep up with all the streaming, gaming, video conferencing, and homeschooling happening right now, especially when it's all at once. Sound familiar? If so, it sounds like it's time for a Wi-Fi upgrade. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear. Wi-Fi 6 is a whole new kind of Wi-Fi. It's the latest tech that gives you the fastest speeds possible, even as you connect more and more devices throughout your home. That means you'll be able to stream without buffering, eliminate lag while gaming, and connect more devices to your Wi-Fi than ever before. It's like upgrading your Wi-Fi to first class. If you are ready for the best Wi-Fi ever, you can get it today from Netgear and never worry about Wi-Fi again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at netgear.com/bestwifi. That's Netgear, N-E-T-G-E-A-R, netgear.com/bestwifi. Now, back to the news. Electric car maker Tesla is defying lockdown orders to reopen its California car factory. The Verge reports Tesla brought its employees back to work yesterday, even though it never really got the okay from local health officials. CEO Elon Musk has not been shy about this either. He announced the reopening on Twitter and basically dared authorities to come arrest him, saying they could find him on the production line. Remember, Tesla already filed a lawsuit over the weekend against Alameda County, where his Fremont factory is located. The future of flying might include fever checks. Frontier is the first airline to say passengers will get temperature checks starting June 1st. The budget airline will use contact-free thermometers, and anyone with a temperature above 100.4 will not be allowed to fly. Frontier may not be the only one to do this either. In fact, the trade group representing other major airlines said it would support fever checks for passengers and employees. But here's the thing. They'd rather the TSA take the lead on it, not the airlines. Bloomberg reports they're in talks about it now. Twitter is trying to do more to slow the spread of misinformation. It's now putting labels and warnings on tweets with misleading claims about the new coronavirus. Some tweets will have a simple label underneath that links to verified COVID-19 info, but other tweets that might make more harmful claims will be covered entirely with a warning that says the tweet contradicts public health experts. But if you still want to see that tweet, you can click past the warning, just like you can when you get warnings about graphic content. That said, Twitter says it'll still remove some tweets altogether, like the ones that claim to have a bogus COVID-19 cure. Want to know how people are coping right now? You might be able to just look at the emoji they use. Certain emoji are getting a lot more popular during this coronavirus pandemic. For example, Emojipedia found the praying hands emoji was used 25% more in April compared to last summer. A lot of people use it to give thanks to frontline workers, send prayers, or even express gratitude for the small stuff, like finding toilet paper. But Emojipedia found a dip lately in the use of positive or smiley emoji and a slight increase in not-so-positive ones. Still, the laughing emoji remained on top. It stayed number one for at least a couple of years. Dog food brand Pedigree is making it easy to adopt a dog and social distance at the same time. It's setting up Zoom calls for people to virtually meet shelter dogs and maybe even adopt them. So people can see the pups virtually, ask questions about them live, and if they fall in love, they can bring them home. This week, it's partnering with the Nashville Humane Society to hold the Zoom meet and greets. In the future, Pedigree says it'll be working with other shelters as well. And the best part is the company is also covering the adoption costs. If you want to learn more, you'll find a link in today's show notes. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Talk to Me Tuesday, where we help answer your COVID-19 questions. And this week, we wanted to address a question from Lynn via email. She asked, is it safe to use a disposable medical mask once, put it aside for 2 or 3 weeks, and then reuse it? Well, we checked with epidemiologist Malia Jones and virologist Paula Cannon, and they both said, yes, that sounds okay. Cannon calls it a good idea since the virus does die over time. She says studies have shown sunlight helps the process, so placing it outside might make this method even more effective. Jones also says this is an okay thing to do, though she reminds everyone that face masks are not a substitute for other basic practices to keep the virus from spreading, such as staying away from other people whenever possible, washing your hands, and staying home when you're sick. Thanks again for sending in your questions, and while we could not get to all of them, this was our final Talk to Me Tuesday segment. Of course, we still welcome your questions, and we'll look to address the most common ones through our regular coverage in the show and our expert interviews on Thing to Know Thursday. And stay tuned, we'll launch a new Tuesday segment in the future. All right, thank you so much for listening today and making The Newsworthy part of your routine. The Newsworthy is ready for you every weekday by 4 in the morning. And as always, you can read more about any of the news stories mentioned at thenewsworthy.com/show notes. We'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.